Welcome to This Week in Testing. It's Friday, the 15th of August, 2025, and this is episode 100. Well, hey, how cool that we got to 100. And I'm your co-host today, Simon Tomes, and I'm co-hosting with the wonderful Mariem Safi. Mariem, how are you doing?
I'm doing great, Simon. How are you doing?
I'm good. You and I, we were scrambling to trying to get things working behind the scenes.
Yes.
And we appreciate there was some good chat going on for those that are listening in live. And for those who have joined us via the podcast, welcome. We hope you enjoy This Week in Testing. We're going to get stuck in, have a little chit chat about some of the things that we've been observing this week. And then there'll be an opportunity for Mariem and myself to invite you up on stage. And you can talk about your week in testing, get people up, chit chatting away, and sharing the good stuff. And if you haven't done so already, please do share your profile page, your Ministry of Testing profile page in the chat. Thank you to those who've already done that. We can start following each other, and we now have a following feed that we are beta testing, where you can view all the updates of the folks that you are following. It's very cool. It's a great way to stay connected with the community and see what everybody is up to. It's very good indeed. Okay, so Mariem, what are some of the things that you've been observing this week? How has your week in testing been?
My week in testing has been fantastic, Simon. Thank you for asking. And honestly, not just this week, but for the past few weeks as well, I've been contributing to something pretty exciting. I think I shared it already, but I've been helping to build a new category of test management tools with the Epic Test Quest team. It's not testing in the traditional sense for now, but I'm using my QA background to support the development of the tool in lots of different ways, I hope. Though I did a little bit of testing recently. I tested the first version of the MVP and it was exciting. So far, it's been an amazing experience. I'm learning a lot about how AI powered tools are built, how models work, and how everything connects behind the scenes. I'm super grateful to be part of this. So this is about what I was doing. Yeah,
very cool, Mariem, and no doubt your critical thinking skills are helping Christine Pinto and the rest of the team at Epic Test Quest. So do go check out what they're up to. Up to good things indeed. Very cool.
How about you, Simon?
Yeah. Oh, well, thank you for asking. Yeah. So loads of good stuff going on in the Motiverse. The cool thing is now I can go on my following feed. I can literally see all the good stuff that's been happening. So just, I can see that someone, Parameshwaran, is now open to mentor. I can see that I awarded Jack Pugh a Bug Congrats community star for attaining their MOT Software Testing Essentials certificate. I can see Sarah Deary did that as well. There's been some items shared in the Observatory, which is a great place for bookmarks of items that are happening in and around the tech industry. It's very cool. Honestly, there's so much good stuff happening. I can see some people joining the community. So welcome to Jude, who's just recently joined. Lovely to see you joining here. So yeah, it's like a real-time feed of stuff that's happening, which is wonderful. So that's all been happening behind the scenes. Lots of dev work going on there. We also are gearing up for Test Bash and the Leading with Quality event day. So that's end of September, early October. Crikey, getting my dates all muddled up there. It must be the heat that's getting to my head. But there's so much good stuff happening for Test Bash. We're so excited. We're chatting with some good people, getting more folks to come along. Lots of exciting things happening behind the scenes as we cement the schedule. We are working on some very cool things for the Corn Exchange, which is the big area that folks can hang out and meet the sponsors. And there's loads of other activities going on. And Leading with Quality is going great. We have Rosie Sherry, so the CEO and founder of Ministry of Testing, continues her Leading with Quality Conversations. So if folks haven't checked that out, do go look for it. It's, if you go to ministryoftestimony.com, look at the collections link in the footer, you will find the Leading with Quality Conversations collection. And I'm just going to grab it now, bung it in the chat. So yeah, I recently watched Gary Hawkes's conversation with Rosie. It was lovely. Lots of good conversations about caring, which prompted me to share a memory. So memories, like a microblogging feature of ministryoftestimony.com. So I quoted Gary and it made me reflect on the concept of caring. So yeah, do go check that out. Honestly, there's so much going on. I need to stop talking because I could just spend the whole hour talking about it. And I see in the chat, for those following along in the chat, Rosie Sherry says, I'm going to make an announcement at Test Bash. Well, hey, so folks, I very much encourage you, if you can get there, you will see Rosie Sherry up on stage making an announcement. And I have a feeling I know what that announcement is, and it's incredibly exciting. And that is all I can share right now. So, Mariem, what do you reckon? Should we start getting some folks up on stage and hearing about their week in testing?
Yes, why not? But I just wanted to share something about the Test Bash for, because
yeah.
It's about getting the most people in there. I don't know if you saw it, but there is ways to get a free ticket in to Test Bash by you can share a test idea in 99 characters or less, and you will get a free ticket. Or you could spend 30 minutes with Rosie on a virtual call. She will be asking some questions about your professional life. And at the end, she will give you a link to book a Test Bash for £90 only. You will be killing two birds with one stone. You will be enjoying a great conversation with the wonderful Rosie Sherry and getting a huge discount. Isn't it great?
It's such a cool initiative. Yeah. And Rosie's been, I try and book some time with Rosie and her diary is fully booked with these conversations with some brilliant community members. And it's just a great way, I think. So kudos for any CEO or founder of a company to continue to speak directly with their community. Like we're learning so much, right? There's so much insight to be shared. We're understanding people's challenges, goals, ambitions, what it is they want to get from their career and how Ministry of Testing as a community can serve and help. So it's wonderful. Yeah, it is pretty intense, but fair play to Rosie for going for it. And if folks want to take her up on that offer, £99 to get yourself to Test Bash is honestly an absolute bargain. So yeah, thank you for mentioning that, Mariem. I appreciate you sharing that and also sharing those links in the chat. Talking of the chat, I can see Rich Adams is in the chat. Oh, it's lovely to see Rich joining us today. Rich says, I was watching some of the Leading With conversations on Wednesday with my PDP time. Lots of great insights. Oh, that's cool, Rich. I'm glad to hear you're making the time you get for personal development to watch those talks. There's so much good insight in there. These are people who really are leading the way when it comes to quality. We welcome more folks to get involved. It's like an ongoing invite. If you are interested, just get in touch with us via the chat on ministryoftestimony.com and say, hey, I'm up for having a Leading With Quality chat, and we will do the rest and go from there. Okie dokes. Well, I can see a couple of people have put their hands up. So Christine Pinto, I believe, was first to put their hand up. So Christine, I'm going to bring you up on stage, and then Eamon afterwards. So thank you for waiting patiently. Let's get Christine up onto the main stage.
Hello, hello.
Hello, hello. Hello, wie geht's?
Oh, sehr gut, danke schön. Aber jetzt bringen wir alle durcheinander. So rather not German, because it can be very complicated afterward. Let me start to re-switch my brain as well, Simon.
I will say no more German and continue to speak in English. Sorry about that, Christine. But it's good. I'm glad you're well. And yeah, how's your week in testing been? It's good to see you.
Oh, I think it's been now 5, 6, 7 weeks I haven't been on This Week of Testing. It's been a while. I felt like the signs of when you have like withdrawal. And last week I literally I moved meetings. And then last week I went there too. And I was like, huh, nothing is happening. And then I saw, okay, yeah, it's not happening for this week. So that's why I'm so glad to take the time today to come also. And yeah, it's been very interesting. I switched this week a little bit more to DevOps because I have having a performance issue with our Slack app. We are developing an Epic Test Quest since, I would say, 4 weeks. I did, I don't know, under the sun, all opportunities. And today I had the idea, maybe it's my Google Cloud server. So I literally spent a couple of hours trying out all different UI options you have. And then I found it. And now finally, and Miriam will hopefully soon see that as well when I give her the test, it's solved. It's not as quick as some other stuff, but it's not, it used to be when you do one request like 10, 15 seconds, and now we are like 4 or 5. So that was my testing, and I'm super happy today. And I think what I would share, because I still believe it's a little in my brain, is like these AI tools. And today, Natalia started a chat about MCP servers, because that's still, I wanted to look into this since weeks, because I heard Angie Jones in the VR Developer Conference talking about her Goose project with MCP. And I believe, especially because I see a lot about MCP Server Playwright, this could be super interesting. I would like to know how other people are using that. What are you using? Are you using MCP servers already? And if yes, only for UI testing, or also like connecting APIs, or connecting your fancy AI client or agents or stuff like that? Because that's what I'm constantly thinking. How can we use this more? Because literally, I'm not sure if you feel the same way, Simon or Miriam. I have the feeling every day is a new message about this new AI tool and this new. I think yesterday was Genie 3 from Google, and then before came Notebook LM. I think Rosie shared that. I think it's insane how much is changing right now. What normally takes like years of changing, now we have like weeks of changing. That's super interesting. People stay up to date with that as well.
I love it. Lots going on. And well, congrats on making some performance improvements. That's very cool. Very cool indeed. Interestingly, I added an item to the observatory. So this is our bookmarking section of ministrytesting.com from Fastly. It was called Request Collapsing Demystified. But yeah, just reminded me of that as you were talking about that. But yeah, I think, I mean, there's all sorts of chit chats going on, isn't there, about MCP servers, what it can do. So it was really cool, as you say, to see Natalia start that conversation. And hopefully we can, it's always good, I think, when we can gather examples, like what are actually people doing with this? Is it hype? Is it like there's stuff really happening? And what, and how can it help us? And how quickly should we jump on these things? Are they well tested? Is it all experimental? What are some of the risks associated with them? I tend to find, I don't know if you find this as well, Christina, Mariam, it sparks more questions than answers when these new things come along. I don't know if that's your experience.
Yeah, definitely, because you never know, hey? Because I think all of us worked in small or big companies, and especially like the starting ones or the hyped ones, they skip testing. And like I said, I wrote in the chat, I tried out ChatGPT-5 when it came out, and it was like, I heard on that day so many people raging, oh, it's so awesome, it's so awesome. I used it and I thought, I'm speaking to the stupidest model there is in the world, because it constantly asked me, okay, I think the way, at least it was more honest. Normally it tried to help me no matter what, but it literally almost asked, okay, so what do you want me to handle? And what is the context? And literally I'm writing a message, so just the message you just wrote me to explain it to me. And it's like, how can I do this? What do I do this? So I know, and I think OpenAI also came out on that day that they had some problems with their modeling. And even then, if you think about how hyped this company is, you still experience this. And with all, and that's the thing, hey, this AI hype, especially now, because I'm also looking into this, some of the stuff, it's not AI, it's just an algorithm. And then everybody screams, oh, agents. And there is definitely agentic AI coming, and it's super interesting. But not everything is agent, which calls itself agent. The same what we had a year ago where everybody screamed AI and not everything was AI. So we have to see, I think, especially for us also being the people who either use it or will test it in the companies, it's very important to think about the risk and the critical thinking. What can it actually do? And what are we maybe just telling it to do?
Totally. I have a fun flowchart bubbling up in my head where it's like, is it an AI agent? And then some silly like flow diagram that basically sends you on a loop. So you can't quite answer it because it's sometimes hard to tell. Is this an AI agent or not? I don't know. Maybe there's a silly meme there. If one of our listeners could wanted to turn that into a meme of some sort. Agents, agents, agents everywhere.
Yeah, that's the question. Hey, that's how it feels right now. It's like agent, AI, AI. It's like the same when automation came out. Everything 100% automation. We still haven't achieved that. So that's why it's going to be interesting, because we are hyping it so much. What will be actually good stuff, what will be only hype stuff. Like I have seen, especially like now these agentic things, how you can also, and my brain immediately goes, how can you misuse that? Especially when we now have like agentic AIs who like does something on your computer. Right? So how do we ensure while testing that it still asks for like permissions and stuff and it does these things? Because I immediately think about, okay, what about scammers, eh? When it came down, the development of remote desktop control, that was when scammers came up, hey, when it's all like these phone scammers, they are now connecting to your computers and they do stuff. And this, in the future, do agents are doing this? How can we prevent that it's doing? How can we as testing also keep this in like secure ways? And we look into policies. The EU at least tries to put policies on North America. Let's see how this is going to go, hey? Oh, and by the way, thank you for sharing all these links over MCP. I see Emily sharing as well as Manish. I will have a look into that as well. Thank you.
Very cool indeed. Yes, thank you for those links happening right now live for those who are listening. I do wonder, it always reminds me, Christine, when we get talking about AI, like the back to basics or back to the essentials of testing and the skills that we can develop. And I always think of STEC. I always think of the Software Testing Essentials Certificate. And yeah, just the fact that we always have that, we always have our core skills to develop and enhance, regardless of what tooling or technology can support us in our efforts. I always try and remind myself to step back and think of those core skills as we discover lots of new technologies and they move at such a fast pace.
And I think that's so important because in the end, it's all about, we are not yet, I always say it because I don't know what the future is, replaced by all of these things. And in the end, they're all like fancy dancy. But what we actually learned, like through also the Ministry of Testing courses and also through our experience, is so essential and important. And again, these are things the AI only learns on things we publicly make available or somehow it sneaks its way into things, but that's still not everything we actually have in our brain, hey, I would say. Like I can express way more things here speaking than I can express in writing it down. That's just how it is.
Defo. And I can see in the chat, Rosie is sharing, I started a collection on MCP. Ah, yes, yeah. So for those who are following along on the chat, do have a look at that collection and then, yeah, we can, and for folks who want to add stuff to the observatory, we can add them to that collection. There's also the, I think there's another collection, I can't remember the exact name, but Rosie, if you're able to look it up, is it How's AI Going? And it's a collection of stories about unfortunate things happening in the world of AI. So it's always a very interesting one for us to be aware of some of the shortcomings as well. So keeping on top of that is important, which is a lot of the stuff that we do here at Ministry of Testing is a lot of research. We gather a lot of information and try and package it up in a way that it's easy for people to collect it and read and digest it and critically think about this stuff and then play it back to the community to keep the conversations going. Yes, it's called AI is Going Just Great. Thank you for sharing that. That's in the chat there, Rosie. It's a good one. It's a good one. We should continue to add to that one. There's some fascinating stories in there.
Simon, just give me a reminder. Can you also share YouTube video links in the observatory or only art like links?
Yeah, YouTube. Yep. Yeah. There's a bit of a bug where it will think it's a duplicate link, but if you use the share feature on YouTube, which gives a very unique URL, it should work. So yes,
okay, and I will try that because I saw an awesome short about AI and coding and I had to laugh so hard and it was so, I have to
put that in. Definitely do add it. I want to check that one out. Brilliant, Christine. Well, I'm also conscious of time as well. There's a few more folks waiting. So Mariem, shall we bring Eamon Droko up on stage? If you wouldn't mind doing the honors and bringing Eamon up onto the stage. Yes,
of course. Main stage, not stage to stage left.
Main stage. Yeah, main okay. Stage. You got it. Yeah.
Thank you.
Hello. Hello.
Eamon, we can hear you loud and clear. Sorry, I was just wondering if Mariem was going to jump on in, but I think, Mariem, you're still on mute.
I was talking, but it was on mute, yes. Sorry.
I will stop. You go for it, Mariem.
No, I was welcoming Eamon, and that's it. But I couldn't be heard. It's okay. Eamon, how are you? How have your weekend, Eamon?
Yeah, hi, everyone. Hi. Some of my ex-colleagues here, Mariem and Christine, because I was working on Epic Test Quest up until recently, which was really great, and it's great to see what you're all doing over there. But yeah, my week in testing has been pretty good. Some people may have saw that I announced that I have finally got a new job. So that is fantastic. And I'll be starting that job next Monday, which is, yeah, after over 2 years on the market, which is insane. But yeah, I'm really excited to be starting that job. Not going to announce just yet what it is. I'm probably going to wait till Monday just because, I don't know, a bit paranoid. Yes, Emily said as well, I'm also going to be speaking at a brand new conference in Leeds next month called Test Up North. So yeah, it's definitely exciting times for me.
Congratulations, Eamon. Super amazing to hear that. I'm so amazed. It's sad that we are losing your important time with us, but I'm super happy that you found the job and then you also might now go all in into your public speaker experiences. Yay. Yeah, I'm sadly, I won't be there, but I'm super excited to hear that.
Yeah, it's really exciting. And it's really cool to be speaking at a brand new conference as well. Like, hopefully it's the first of many at this particular conference. But if anyone's interested, it's called Test Up North. It's a free event in Leeds, right next to the train station as well. So yeah, definitely, if people can make it, come down. I'm going to be doing a talk about what it's like being the first QA at a startup and how that went terribly wrong, but also lessons I learned along the way. So yeah, ASD80's put a link there if anybody's interested in joining.
Eamon, huge congratulations to you. I am so excited to hear that news and for you to announce it on the stage at This Week in Testing as well, for folks who didn't know the good news that you have landed your next role, which is wonderful. So just to clarify, is it this Monday, the 18th of August, that you're starting, or the following Monday?
Correct, the 18th.
Yes. Oh, wow, really? Oh, my goodness me. So super close. So is there anything you feel you would like to talk about that would help? I know you mentioned you can't mention it because you're worried about things, and I totally get that. But if there's thoughts around, what do I do on my first day? What do I expect? How can the community help me?
Yeah.
I can think of a few threads off the top of my head on the club. I could dig them out in a bit around first day, new company, all of that stuff.
Yeah. Yeah, I'll say, I wouldn't say I've been like super nervous or anxious, but of course, with the gap between my two roles in QA, there's obviously going to be a bit of apprehension because what are they going to be expecting of me? But I've had a lot of chats with people this week, a lot of calls, and I've had a lot of reassuring messages from people that have definitely calmed me down and have made me even more excited for the opportunity. Because if you look at it like this, the company that takes you on knows your circumstances. They know what you've come from, and they still want to take you on. So that kind of imposter syndrome that you might have, they're going to be aware of that, and hopefully they'll be able to guide you on the way. And I see mention of like first 90 days and things like that in the chat. I've had some people send me some resources on that as well. So I've got a lot of things that's going to help me navigate the situation. And of course, there's the whole community conduit thing that we've talked about before. Like, a lot of people have said to me, like, if there's any new tool you're interested in learning, or if there's any thing you're unsure about, like, we can just jump on a call or we can talk about it. And that's going to be part of like my talk that I'm going to be doing at that conference as well. Because when I was in that role, I felt very alone in that situation, but I'm going into this role with everybody in the MOT community. So I'm very excited to face the challenge.
I love it. Yeah, the community has 100% got your back. And that's why it's so cool that you've worked so hard with the community to do awesome things. And that's what comes of it. So I think the company that have hired you plus a community on tap. So I think they've made a brilliant hire. So yeah, many congratulations to you, Eamon. And I'd love to, when the timing is right for you to get back up on stage here and share some experiences, what it's been like getting back into it, what the first few weeks are like. Of course, I want to respect confidentiality and IP and all that stuff, but it'd be very cool to get your take on things as you progress in your next role. Love it.
Yeah, 100%. And just one last thing, just to answer the questions that Judy's just put to me there about sustaining my mental health during this job search. I think that the story that I want to tell is too great for this week in testing. As in, not to disparage this week in testing, but I think I've said this to a lot of people, but I want to be on the test bash stage next year to tell the whole story, because it needs an hour, to be honest. So this is me putting it out there that I'd love to do a talk at Test Bash next year, talking about what it's like to be on the job market for over 2 years. So yeah, so come to Test Bash next year, Judy, and you can hear the whole story.
I love it, Eamon. I love it, Eamon. Rosie Sherry, paging Rosie Sherry. Oh, there you go. The invite is in your inbox.
Oh, amazing.
Boom. There it is.
Yeah. Oh my goodness. That's all I'll say today, and I'll leave the rest of Twitter to everyone else. Just want to share that with everyone, but thank you.
Cheers, Eamon. I know my camera isn't on, but I have the biggest smile on my face right now. It's very cool. Lovely. Lovely to hear from you, Eamon. Mariem, I think we've got to do stick around, I should say, for anyone who does join the stage and jump into the combo. I see, Mariem, I think Manish was good to put their hand up next, and then AD Stokes. So I'm going to press the button and bring up Manish. Oh, yes, I see we've got the option now to send people to stage left. I see what you mean, Mariem. Let me do that to bring Manish up onto stage, but to stage left. And things should hopefully work as expected. Manish, welcome.
Hey guys, how's everybody doing?
Ah, well, thank you for joining. It's good to see you. How has your week in testing been?
Not the week, the past few months have been great. We have been trying something new. That said, I'm glad to be back. I haven't been on these meetings for a while now, at least a few months. But I'm glad that I was able to make time this week. Then happy Independence Day to all Indians out there. Cool. Just wanted to reflect on what Christine was mentioning about all these different AI models coming up in the market every single day. I sometimes feel the fear of the FOMO. I get the FOMO saying, okay, so there are so many models out there. Should I try the most latest one, the most latest and greatest one? That said, what I have tried quite a few of them. And then what I've realized is for the use cases that we have, I don't think we need all the latest and greatest ones. I've shared the link of the MCP servers that VS Code supports in the chat there. One way we are using, one thing that happened over the past couple of weeks is my company has rolled out a mandatory AI usage within the company. As in now everybody has got access to GitHub Copilot, the pro version of it, and the company expects that we use AI in our day-to-day jobs. And one way we are doing it is using MCP servers. Honestly, with just Playwright, I don't think MCP server has got many use cases which cannot be done using normal LLMs. You can use chatbots to get the same output responses. But one use case that I've seen useful is being able to connect to the third-party applications like Atlassian, Asana, or Figma for that matter. So what the use case that we have identified is, so we are basically connecting the MCP server to the Figma. And once we have the Figma files done, we have curated this extensive list of chats to the VS Code or to the GitHub Copilot saying, okay, this is how my tests are structured. This is my design file. And take a look at my code base, come up with tests. So what we are trying to do is we are trying to move shift left everything. As in, even before the development is done, we have the designs and we have all the existing tests. So based on that, we are asking the MCP server to create tests. So that way, once the development is done and it's deployed to lower environments, we can start testing right away. So that's one use case that we have identified, and then we have already implemented that. The other one we are trying is to connect to Atlassian and Asana, because that's where all of our new features or new intakes come from. So we are trying to connect there and then generate these reports or analytics saying, okay, so how are we doing on each of these projects? Are we meeting the deadline? Are we extending it? What are the reasons? So yeah, these are a couple of use cases that we have identified. I'm pretty sure there are more use cases that can be implemented. So yeah, those are like two use cases that we have implemented over the past couple of months.
Very cool, Manish. Thank you for sharing. Yeah, I love it. Loving getting these real examples and how it's helping. I think we should continue to build up this knowledge base and these real life examples, just so people can seek inspiration. And I know, of course, we always say context is important. Yeah, I think we can certainly be inspired by what other folks are up to in different companies and industries. And it may spark like, oh yeah, maybe we could do that, but with a different tooling set. Yeah, very cool. Thank you for sharing, Manish. Much appreciated. Maybe I'm trying to think, and I may have missed it on the chat, whether there is a club post for this already. Oh, yes, of course, it's Natalia's one that Christine mentioned. We already do have. But yeah, perhaps if you haven't done so already, add that example to that conversation on the club.
For sure, yeah, I'll add that. There's right. Nothing proprietary or nothing confidential there, so it's an open source one.
Of course, yes. Yeah. And that's the thing, isn't it? It gets really tricky when it's, oh, we can't expose this or we can't tell people about this because this is IP or there's some privacy mm-hmm. rules. And it's, yeah, it does get really interesting when we have to, of course, we have to be mindful of all of that when we're discussing this across the community. So, yes, giving examples, but open examples without breaking any of the rules, I guess, is the one way to put it.
One question I wanted to ask the community is, like, how is your company handling the AI adoption? Is it made mandatory across organizations that you have to use AI in some way or form to increase productivity? Or how are things happening across? Because I know within my company, it's been made mandatory, and then they are tracking. They are, in fact, tracking the usage, and then they send out emails saying, okay, the usage hasn't been great, so let us know why you are not using. Is it not useful? They send out this monthly questionnaire or poll asking, like, if the usage is less, then they're asking questions. I don't know how it's with other organizations. I just want to get an idea on what's happening across the world.
Oh, that is a great question. And yeah, to Adi's point in the chat, yeah, great question for the club to become a future trend article, Manish. Absolutely. And perhaps some folks in the meantime could share some answers to that. That's certainly the first time I've heard of AI being mandatory within a company and then checks happening once a month and the conversation about usage is too low, you need to up your usage. That is fascinating, Manish. So yeah, let's find that out. I definitely, to amplify AD's point, get that one on the club and let's see what the community's experience when it comes to AI being used as or encouraged as mandatory. I got it.
That's super interesting. But I think I'm not sure if that's even possible in the EU, because I'm pretty sure the AI Act has something. And I thought I read something, because it sounds small, because I know I read something similar in DOJE, or whatever it's pronounced, the department in the US. They had similar things where they were tracking stuff, but I don't think this is allowed in the EU. So I definitely find it super interesting if any companies tries to do this in the EU as well, or at least make it mandatory. But I think the tracking wouldn't be allowed. I don't think that the EU is allowing that, but I find it fascinating. Did you gotten a response why did you not use it more, or have you used it a lot and then they ask you, why did you not use it less? What happened to you since, what was like a typical conversation in there? I would love to know.
In Mike, I use a Copilot every single day. So it wasn't a question or a poll that was asked about me. It was for some other team members on my team. So they got these emails asking, okay, so we saw that the usage has been less. It's because they are trying to understand, like, is it because of lack of knowledge, lack of a proper understanding on how to use AI? So that way, once they gather that information, they are trying to organize meetings or training sessions for these people to explain how to go about using AI in your day-to-day tasks. It's not about making it mandatory or a bad kind of thing. It's they are trying to understand if people are aware of AI usages, the advantages of integrating AI or using AI assistance in your workplace. So that's what they're trying to do, as in, if there is no proper training, then they are willing to spend that extra time and efforts to train people on usage of AI.
That makes a lot of sense. Just because I'm also using Copilot now a lot, what model do you use it? Do you use it with Claude or with GitHub?
Yes, personally, I use Claude a lot. Yeah. I like Claude, hands down on any day. Yeah. So there are other models that are supported. We have ChatGPT-4, which is integrated. Yeah. So we have 3 or 4 models which are integrated within Copilot. And I keep switching between these just to get a feel of how these different models respond. I like to try a lot of things, different things, and see how each of these models perform or respond.
Fascinating. Yeah, I also have to say, I'm Copilot, I always use Claude, but I use ChatGPT as a chat version and talk to them, because I had the feeling when I put ChatGPT in Copilot, it was going nuts sometimes, is changing my files, over engineering, so crazy. And because it has so much access and then always clicking undo was a little hassle for me. And Claude, at least the way I was talking to it, I could stop from it. We talk a lot and then we do small changes and steps that I actually can see it. Because sometimes if it changes like 900 lines, I was like, what are you doing? So right. That was my
The context, as you mentioned, context plays a major role, as in I've seen people giving the context of entire code base, which comprises of thousands and thousands of lines, right? And then if you give your ChatGPT or your Copilot free hand in making changes, it tends to make changes across several files, and then it gets so difficult for you to keep track of all these changes. So I am very careful in giving the right context, as in I only provide a couple of files which I really want changes to. So that way my changes are limited, and then I can look into those changes before accepting them.
That's a good way. That's a good workaround. I like that. I have to say, yeah. I do that partially and partially not. I have to say, I also like the Claude chat function because I connected it to my GitHub repository, and actually I can choose which files and can always click on the sync button that actually gets the newest files automatically to the chat, which I'm also was very fascinated, and ChatGPT doesn't have that yet. But it's always, I'm talking with both and even sometimes also Gemini on, because my way, and I'm not sure if you did as well, I really start with, okay, what is actually the goal I want to do here? Figure out the goal, especially when it's new features, how do we handle this and speak about all these things. And then from there, do a step-by-step implementation. That worked the best, because when I used to do it before, it's like just, okay, I bring my big idea in then, and then we look how it works, and that crashed so many times. So from goal work to features and step, that is how I work right now. It works, but that's for big features. For bugging or debugging or something does not work, I work a lot with, okay, that I read today, and I'm using this now, very good, always writing, take a step back and let's look again over this. Because sometimes they run into this rabbit hole, and this command really was very good, take a step back, and I had the feeling it was doing it a little bit better, let's say it that way.
I mean, that's awesome. Very interesting, Christine. One thing that we had similar experiences where everybody was giving the entire context. So what we have implemented is we have created this prompts folder where we have given extensive prompts for each and every use case. As in, say, for example, if somebody's trying to generate tests, so we have given this extensive prompt saying, this is how my test should be structured. I've given some examples within these prompts. So we have prompts for creating page objects. We have prompts for creating tests. We have prompts for creating config files, the util files. So we have structured or segregated them in this way. We use different prompts. So every time we need help with one of those files, then we give the context based on that prompt. So that way, my personal experience has been great with these different prompt structures for different file types.
Well, that awesome. Seems also. Oh, sorry, Miriam.
Sorry, Christine. But this topic seems very passionate topic between you and Manish. Maybe it would be great as a club topic, perhaps, and you could continue your passionate conversation about this. But I'm sorry, but there is...
Definitely. Sorry again. As I said, I've been away for a little while, for a few months now. I think I'll be more active in the coming weeks. So I'll definitely post something. So I've been very active at one point, but past few months I've been a little slow. But definitely I'll get back to the club again, add my questions, my comments, my posts.
Thank you for sharing this, Manish, and welcome back. I'll invite AD Stokes. I think he's the next one in the line. So,
hello,
AD.
Hi.
Hi, loud and clear.
So there are just a couple of things I wanted to say. Following up from Eamon, the Test Up North is a brand new conference. It's free, the tickets are free. So it's a great thing for the Leeds testing community. Ministry Testing Leeds, the meetup that I help run. Yeah, I've turned my camera off. I didn't know it was going to come on automatically. Sorry, Emily. The Ministry of Testing Leeds meetup that I help organise, we're partnering with Test Up North, so it's the Leeds meetup is going to be in the same location. So it's going to be like a follow-on event from their debut test conference. So I'm hoping that a few people who attend the conference will also come and do MOT Leeds. And Simon's aware of this. I don't know how public it is. Me and Scott Kenyon were going to do a workshop at Ministry of Testing Leeds at Test Bash down in Brighton, called Elevate Your Career, Become a Testing Generalist. And because they want everybody in one place at the end of the conference, because we were like the last workshop, we're going to convert that into a talk. so everybody can be in the main hall together, which means Ministry of Testing Leeds gets to do the workshop. So you're getting a full Test Bash workshop at Ministry of Testing Leeds on the 25th of September. So I just wanted to let everybody know that. And the other really exciting thing that's happened this week is the Software Testing Essentials Certificate, or STEC, has gone fully live. So I've been helping work on that for well over 6 months. It's taken a lot of my time to curate that. We've had some brilliant contributors. I've loved working with lots of people. There's been conversations. There's been audio clips. I thought I'd made really good training material, and I did, when I created a software testing bootcamp and then apprenticeship based on the software testing level 4 apprenticeship. And the STEC is just levels above. Like, the apprenticeship gives people a very solid foundation. This is like a more well-rounded, more views. It's been fantastic to just watch what's been created. And the number of people reviewing what we've put out there, we've gone through the things, we've had feedback from different people, Rosie, Simon, others. And a special shout out to Sarah Deary, who's been the cog in the centre, pulling all this together, organising everybody, making sure everything's happening as it should be, getting things published. It's just been an absolute privilege to be part of creating what should take the baseline for software testers to a whole new level. We mentioned quality engineering throughout it, and that's not its main focus, but you're going to be getting testers who are well-positioned to move into quality engineering roles as part of it. And that wasn't even its main focus, but the base level has just been game-changed. For anybody who does STEC, they're going to be 2 years ahead of somebody coming into testing with an ISTQB certificate. And I'm not joking. I know you're not supposed to say ISTQB in this environment, but that's how good I think it is. STEC.
Thanks so much for sharing, AD. It's been great. And we're so grateful, Team MOT and the community, for what you've done to help make STEC happen. Yeah, it's been a big old project, that's for sure, but so rewarding to work on it with you. And yeah, as you say, amplifying your words about Sarah Deary, she's been an absolute legend, moving this forward, making it all happen, bringing people together, managing the whole process. So yeah, we just got to continue to get it out there, spread the word, everyone, keep saying STEC, get it into people's radars, get it into the lexicon of the world of testing as much as ISTQB is part of the lexicon. We believe STEC can be as well. It really is a game changer. Yes, thank you for sharing that, AD. Super grateful. And yes, also looking forward to your talk at Test Bash. Just before, I feel it's a real good one for inspiring folks, just before folks have the opportunity to get up on stage, the big stage, and do a 99-second talk. So if you are new to public speaking and you want to give it a go in a proper conference environment, then the 99-second talks are definitely worth checking out. AD has done plenty of 99-second talks, and I think it's been a great experience for yourself, AD, and for other folks out there to join the stage in that context.
Yeah, the bit I love best about it is watching someone say, oh, this is my first time talking, or this is the first time I've been on stage or doing a 99-second talk or whatever. And then you see them 6 months or a year later on a stage doing a full talk. It's almost like a gateway introduction to public speaking. It's such a great opportunity. And yeah, I have been known to do a few different types of 99-second talks. Poetry, songs, Shakespeare-esque testing. Yeah, I've done a few.
I love it all. They're all brilliant. The one at the last London meetup was fantastic. But yes, ooh, I'm loving it. Loving it, AD.
Oh, so yeah, I will survive testing live.
It was so good. So good. I wonder, I think we do have a recording of that somewhere. I think it has gone live on the site. People.
Yeah, there is a partial memory.
Yes.
There's a snippet, don't we say?
Oh, that's it. Yeah, I remember now. That's great. Excellent. Well, thank you for joining us, AD. Mariem, I'm just doing a quick time check. I know we started later and we have officially gone over the hour, so we're breaking all the rules, and we're very grateful for the folks who are sticking with us. We can see some folks who are still busy in the chat, so thank you for staying with us. there's a couple of folks that are waiting in the wings to join us. And I think if we say to Ujwal and to Gary, let's get you up on stage. Mariem, I think it was, oh, it looks like we might have lost. But hey, let's see if we can get Gary Hawkes up onto stage. And this is the ultimate test, folks. For those who have been following along, we've had a few issues with Gary's audio and it not working. So this really is a moment of truth if this audio works. Gary, can you hear us?
Hello, the Motiverse.
Oh, my goodness me, everybody. It worked. Finally.
This
finally.
Is the only reason I've come up. I just want to put that microphone stuff to bed. It's gone. I'm there now.
200 okay. That's great. It's great to hear your voice, Gary. I've heard your voice recently listening to your conversation with Rosie. So I'm so glad that we have now proven that you can join at this week in testing stage and that long may you join future episodes.
Thank you very much. I feel cleansed. I really do. Yeah.
Brilliant.
I also did a poddy. So I'm poddied out, to be honest. I had a podcast today with Mr. Shannon and a lot of it was about the demise of the name Gary. But yeah. So that was, I think I had a chat for about an hour or so. So that's going to be filtered down. Yeah, that might be coming out in September sometime. But yeah. So that's what I've been doing today. But obviously, I appreciate the time. I just wanted to get on and just prove my microphone worked.
Well, but congrats, Gary. No doubt I'll be sending a star your way to say congratulations on being able to get your audio working up on the This Week in Testing stage. It's wonderful to hear from you. Mariem, we have one person left with their hand raised. Would you mind bringing Ujwal up onto stage and let's see how their week has been?
Hello. Am I audible, Simon?
Yes. Ujwal?
Am I audible? Hello.
Oh, Ujwal, yes, are audible. Yes, I think we just lost Mariem there. So let's see if we can get her back up on stage soon. But in the meantime, I'll ask the question, Ujwal, how has your week in testing been?
My week in the testing has been great so far. And I think it's been 2 to 3 months last time I was live on This Week in Testing episode. After daylight saving was on, I was a bit busy with the meetings and all in my office, so I couldn't join. But somehow today it was a holiday due to Independence Day in India. So I managed to join. So
we appreciate you joining us on Independence Day. Thank you for that, Ujwal. And also, Bug, congrats. You have received over 100 community stars in the Motiverse, which is absolutely amazing. So congratulations on that. As some folks may have spotted, I was very privileged to be able to give you the 100th star, but I hesitated because the number 99 is quite an important one in the world of Ministry of Testing. But I was like, no way, I can't not give you the star. But it just tipped over to the 100 number. So it's lovely to see that. So many congratulations to you for everything you're doing and all the contributions you're making to the Motiverse. It's very cool.
Well, thanks to you. Because of you, it was possible from 99 to 100. Else, I had to contribute one more.
Oh, that's great. But yes, what else would you like to share today, Ujwal, before we wrap up today's episode?
So I have not much to share. So this week, I'm just writing some script on PyTest framework to evaluate some LLM models. And apart from that, I'm also exploring SonarQ for CI/CD pipeline. So that's it. And in my organization, we have shifted from Gemini to Claude Code. We explored the Gemini for 2 weeks, but couldn't find it useful. So we shifted now to Claude Code. And as Manish asked about the use case, so currently what we are doing in automation that we have given the local access of the repo to the Claude Code, and we also feed in the requirement to it. And we are continuously just checking that all the logic in the automation is according to the PRD or not. And most of the time, you can see 85 to 90% of the time, it is giving correct response. But the thing is that we are continuously manually reviewing it. So yes, that's like useful so far, and let's see how it goes. So these are some updates from my side.
Well, that's very cool. I appreciate you sharing that. The whole concept of evaluating an LLM model I find fascinating. I wonder, because I know, thinking of the club, we've got a post around how do you evaluate a tool? Like, how do you make a decision as a team when you're exploring various tools to solve certain problems? I wonder if there's a set of heuristics or criteria or scoring system that companies are using to help them evaluate an LLM model. And I wonder, maybe we should get that conversation going on the club, like people share, how do they evaluate? Like, how do they make it context specific? Do they have scoring? Do they use an LLM itself to help make that evaluation? I'd love to find out, maybe after this week in testing, if folks want to start sharing how they are evaluating things, or whether it's just like a few devs go, yeah, this is cool, this seems to do the job, off we go. Or whether it's very meticulous and it's very structured and everything in between. I always find that curious how we make decisions about committing to certain tooling, how often we review and evaluate those decisions.
Actually, there are like, so far I've explored two ways. One is like through scripting, you write the script in PyTest. Another is there are some tools in the market that you can use to find how reliable your LLM tools are. One is like prompt foo. So that is also open source, but you need to pay for API usage. But now I'm just exploring PyTest. So let's see how it grows. I'm documenting my steps and my experiences. Once it is completed, I will share in the club.
Yeah, defo. And that could make for a good article as well, Ujwa, if you wanted to consider that. But I think, yeah, starting in the club, definitely sharing your experiences, pull in the experiences of others, and then maybe, yeah, that would make for an interesting article, I reckon.
Thanks, Simon, for bringing me on the stage. Okay. Happy with
you. It's great to have you join us, Ujwa. Thank you so much. Lovely stuff. Right, folks. Well, we have come to the end of the 100th episode of This Week in Testing. We appreciate you sticking around, and for those who joined us live, having some patience at the start as we had a few technical difficulties. But hey, it wouldn't be a This Week in Testing if we didn't have problems with Crowdcast, the tool that we use to host these events and this podcast. So a reminder, folks, do head over to ministryoftesting.com. That is the place where everything is happening in the Motiverse. That is a very good starting point. Do get exploring. There's a lot of changes happening. We are constantly updating the site with new things, whether that's new features or new content or new events, new talks. It's just all happening on there. I think also for those who are new to the Motiverse, I recently posted a memory called Discovering the Motiverse, 10 Steps to Get Started. So do have a look out for that one. If this is all new to you, do go check it out. For those following along live, I just posted a link in the chat. That gives you some places to get started, and then you'll get stuck into the community and see what's possible. But yeah, keep the conversations going. Keep following each other and your profiles. Keep sharing the community stars and supporting each other and looking out for each other. Keep the conversations going, and also keep taking action. Make good things happen together. That's what it's all about. And yeah, check out the events page as well. Always good events coming up, including some of our partner events. I do encourage you to consider getting a ticket for Test Bash Brighton in October. It is wonderful. It's more than a 2-day conference. Please do check it out. And yeah, we'll hopefully see you there. Okay, folks, take care for now. I'm going to sign off on behalf of Mariam as well. Sorry we lost you, Mariam. If you're listening back to this, it's been lovely to co-host with you today. We very much appreciate you being part of This Week in Testing and sharing the co-hosting duties together. And we'll do it again soon. Okay, folks, going to sign off now. Enjoy the rest of your day, and we'll speak to you soon. Bye for now.